into teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Golden Point. I'm Mac, and I'm here with my co-host JC. Hi, JC.
Hey, Mac.
So round one of the NRL is in the books, and we're back this week to talk about all things rugby league. This episode will feature our talking points, we'll have one intense minute of trivia, a preview of round two, 20 questions, and we'll finish off on JC's rant. So, to jump right in, we're going to start off with our talking points. My first talking point was the success of the bunker. I was one of the people that was very critical of this. It sounded like it was going to cost a hell of a lot of money. Just didn't seem necessary, even though it was a system that was pretty much broken beforehand. But I was impressed. I mean, like, you look at some of the calls they had to make. They had that really hard call on George Tafua's try in the Seagulls game, and they got it spot on. I honestly wasn't unhappy with any of the calls they made. It was really quite impressive. And I'm going to pass over to JC now for his.
Yeah, I agree. No, it was a resounding success, I would say. I'm interested to see how it goes later in the season when it's not a novelty anymore.
Yeah.
I think people wanted to be on its side. They want a reason to be happy with the refs. But I think, look, they full marks from the weekend. They didn't get any calls wrong that I saw. So,
yeah,
great. And let's hope moving forward it stays the same. My first talking point, crowd figures from the first weekend. Obviously, okay. Crowd figures are a much talked about feature of rugby league or NRL. I thought they were quite good over the weekend. There was a couple of games that were especially as good. A couple of local ones, Brookie and Para, thought they got good crowds out there, almost packed to the brim. Couple of bigger stadium ones, Storm and Roosters, I thought were quite good. Roosters having the Eastern Sydney Derby with South Sydney pulled in some good numbers. But, I mean, any crowd that's good at a Roosters number, I think, is a significant thing to celebrate. Storm tend to get quite good numbers. And first game of the season, obviously, fans came out. I thought a couple of the bad ones were Raiders and Tigers. Two local games again. But, yeah, fans just didn't come out for those ones. Not a huge surprise. Neither team gets exceptional crowds every week. So yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked by the Raiders. I would have thought their fans would have really liked what they'd done in the off-season, and they look very promising this year. So you would have thought they would have come out very excited for the new season, but apparently not, which is a bit of a shame, but hopefully it improves. My second talking point is, well, we saw Brett Stewart, he got injured, and they moved Tom Trbojevic to fullback, and they brought in a guy by the name of Braden Williame to play on the wing. And an interesting stat about him is after 12 games, he is still yet to win. And at what point do you have to say, is it him? Or, you know, you've got to feel sorry for the guy. He's going around trying to just get that first win. And now it's something that's noticeable. It's something that people are talking about. I know Rad's highlighted it at the start of the game. And, you know, I think he's been named again this week. So I really hope he gets that first W.
Yeah, I don't think it's something you can blame on the guy. I think you just have to look back at the Manly season last year. They didn't get that many wins on the board. They didn't make the eight in the end. So they had many losses to their name, not just Williame's name. So it's unlucky for the bloke.
He's also a guy that sort of gets brought in when there's an injury, as
exactly.
opposed to being an every time fixture.
Exactly. So, and it's generally going to be probably Brett Stewart who's out, so
yeah.
Eagles are going to be missing one of their best players. So yeah, look, it's, I don't think it has much to do with the guy. My second talking point, I think our last one for today, is just the injuries that have come forth, not from just the first round but also the preseason as well. I'm not sure what it is. It just seems that each year injuries are getting more severe. You'd think with sports science advancing that we'd be getting less injuries, or I guess injuries would be getting quicker in their recovery, but they just seem to not be. You've got Brett Morris, who hadn't touched a football in 5 months, got named with an injury. He was going to be out for 16 weeks before even touching a football this year.
Crazy.
Obviously, it's something that the Bulldogs medical team didn't see before the start of the season. It's not that he got re-injured, but he has to ask questions. Why did they not pick that up? What's going on there? And then obviously from this round with Reynolds, Seguiaro, Leecher, Sutton, Henry, the list goes on. of long-term major injuries. Austin, yeah. Caesar, yeah. They're two halves. It's annoying as a fan. You want to see your best team out there, but it just seems that that it rarely happens. That you rarely get your 17 on the park. I mean, there's a couple of teams where it has to be so frustrating to be a fan. Teams like the Panthers that last year they couldn't get their spine together. I think I don't even know what the figures were. Maybe one game or something, but it just has to be so frustrating. Yeah. And I don't know. It's rarely brought up by the clubs or by the NRL, and I'd like to see it brought up more as to why we're getting more injuries.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of them are things like breaks and stuff like that, which are just unlucky for the most part. But as you say, recovery time doesn't seem to be improving at all. They seem to, and clubs don't seem to be reacting to it, which is interesting. So that's our talking points done for the week, and we're going to be moving on to our 1 minute trivia. This is where JC is going to basically grill me for about a minute, and hopefully I'm going to do well.
Right. Not about a minute. You have
exactly 1 minute.
Unless you get them quicker.
Yeah. All right. So 3, 2, 1.
What was the final score in the Cowboys versus Sharks game?
I think it was 24-18.
Nope. Who tallied the highest fantasy points?
That was Ethan Lowe with 85.
Correct. Within a 500-person margin, what was the crowd at Manly Bulldogs? Remember, you can pass and you can come back to the question.
Yeah, I'm going
to
pass on that one.
All right. Name 3 of 6 players to score try doubles from the weekend.
So we had Aiden Caesar. Corobetti got 2.
Remember, you can pass.
Yeah, I know. I was actually looking at this today, so.
You got 15 seconds to go.
It was Tedesco.
Yes. Yeah. Which team finished 8th on the ladder after round 1?
Pass.
We'll go to within a 500-person margin. What was the
17,500.
Which team is 8th on the ladder? That's time gone now. All right, so I think you got Ethan Lowe. Okay, final score in the Sharks Cowboys was 2014.
Oh, I know it's a 6-point margin. Damn.
Ethan Lowe did tally highest fantasy points with 85, so you got that correct. The crowd at Manly Bulldogs was 16,512, so we would have taken 17,012 or 16,012. Name 3 of the 6 try scorers to score doubles. You got 3 of those. The other ones we would have accepted were Burgess, Caesar, Don. Sorry, you said Caesar. We would have accepted Burgess, Corobetti, Caesar, Don, Tedesco, or Carter. Which team finished 8th on the ladder after round 1 was the Storm. So you got 2. Win. 2 out of the 5 questions. Jeez. So that will go on the scoreboard. It'll be my turn next week. And we'll see who comes out the winner at the end of the season.
That minute flies by.
It does.
I was calm and cool after the first question. And then
yeah, so I think you have to. Apart. I think we'll both learn to play our cards right and get the passes going on. That was a good start.
All right, so that's the trivia done for the week, and we're going to move on to previewing. So, JC, you're up first.
Okay, so I got the Panthers-Bulldogs game first of all. Panthers coming into it with a loss versus Canberra. Dogs coming into it with a win versus Manly. I'm tipping the Dogs for this one. I think they will be too strong for the Panthers. Bulldogs obviously have a couple of injuries there. They've got Kieran Holland coming in to make his debut in the centres, and they got Craig Garvey making his club debut at hooker. Panthers all obviously have a couple of injuries too, with Seguiaro out for 6 to 8 weeks. So they've got Tyrone Peachy moving into the hooking position. I think the Bulldogs will probably come out of this one just too strong. Their forward pack looked sensational last week, and if they can do that again, then it's going to be hard to stop them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dean Farrow come back into late inclusion for the Panthers as well on that one. I'm going to tip the Panthers, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. The next game is the Broncos and the Warriors. So the Broncos obviously won last week, but in my opinion, they were unimpressive because the Eels were suffering from injuries throughout the game, and it was a boring game, really, that Eels-Broncos game. And the Warriors obviously were the shock loss last week, where everyone thought they were going to come out guns blazing, and who knows what went wrong. McFadden really hasn't made any changes apart from the forced one from Ben Henry. But I've got to tip the Broncos after last week with what the Warriors' defense has struggled so much at times.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm tipping the Broncos for that one. I think this one will be closer than what it seems. I don't think the Warriors will put together two quite ordinary performances like they did last week.
Yeah.
They obviously did better in the second half, but it wasn't very good defence, I didn't think. I think the Tigers, they're known to leak a few points in the second half at times, the Tigers, so it won't take too much away from that. But I do think the Broncos will be too strong. They looked probably a gear back from their best last week, so I think if they can kick that extra gear and really put it together, then they should come out in this one on top.
Yeah.
Raiders, Roosters, next game. This one's an interesting one. Both teams missing a lot of players. I think if it was before round one, I would have definitely said Raiders for sure.
Yeah.
But now they've lost Caesar. They've lost Austin. They're linchpins for the team. It makes this one a lot more even, I think. Roosters obviously have quite a few players out from the start of the year with Mitchell Pearce's, Weir, Hargraves and Boy Cordner's, whatnot. They do have Tupou coming back on the wing. I don't think it's a huge inclusion. A bit stronger in defence, so Joe Burgess was a little bit weak at times there. I'm tipping the Raiders. I think they will pip them at home, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Roosters come out on top either.
I'm tipping the Raiders. I can't believe how bad the Roosters looked last week. I thought they were going to be bad, but they even shocked me, so there we go. So the next one is the Rabbitohs and the Knights. The Rabbitohs were obviously very impressive against the Roosters. The Knights seem to... not really make any impact against the Titans, which was quite surprising. Obviously, the big injuries in this one is Adam Reynolds and John Sutton. They're gone, but they're also, the Rabbitohs are boosted by the return of George Burgess and Luke Keary. I've got to tip the Rabbitohs. I think that forward pack will just run right over the Knights, but I hope it's a close one. I hope it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Rabbitohs too. Knights looked ordinary last week, very ordinary. A lot of points put on them by a team that a lot of tipping to finish in the bottom three. So I don't see them being able to beat the Rabbitohs in this one. As you mentioned, I think the injuries will affect them, but I don't think they'll affect them as significantly as it would most teams because they do have Keary coming back in now. They've also got, like you said, George Burgess coming in. So I'm going to go Rabbitohs.
Yeah.
Eels Cowboys up next. I find it hard to go past the Cowboys any round. They're just such a strong team. So I'm going to go Cowboys again, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is close to the game of the round. Foran coming back for the Eels is going to be a huge boost for them. They looked okay at times on Thursday night. They started well, I thought, in the first 20 minutes. They held their structures well, but they fell apart a little bit after that. If they can play an 80-minute game, I think this one can be a very tight match.
Yeah, after they lost Norman, it just sort of, they went downhill from there. I think Luke Kelly had, like, struggled to run that team the best he could. Like, he tried his hardest, but anyway. So Sharks Dragons are next. We saw Jack Burton press at centre last week. I thought he should have been at fullback, but I think I may have been proved wrong. He looked really good. Gallen is injured, but that's not really a rarity, so I think Sharks should be all right from that. Dragons were better than what I thought they would be as well last week. I thought they were a bit unlucky to lose. They seemed solid across the park. Marshall had a pretty good game and Woodup was all right as well. But I'm going to go with the Sharks on this one.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Sharks as well. They held their own against the Cowboys quite well. They were still in it with a couple of minutes to go. So I think they're the team that a lot of people are expecting them to be this year. I think they're definitely still top four potential. And the Dragons were good. Like you said, they did surprise us versus the Storm. But I do think the Sharks will be too strong in this one. So Storm Titans is next. I think the Storm will win this one. Titans were very good against the Knights, but it was versus a very ordinary Knights team. I think the Storm will definitely come out on top. I think they'll just be too strong in the end.
Yeah, no, I think the Storm will end up winning that one reasonably easily. So the final game of the round is the Tigers-Seagulls. Tigers obviously got that amazing win, and the Seagulls were a bit disappointing in their loss, but I'm still going to tip the Seagulls. I think Cherry Evans had a quiet start to the season, but I can't see him having two poor games in a row. And the Tigers, with Luke Brook back, I actually give them a lesser chance to win, because I think they'll put Mitchell Moses in the back seat again.
Yeah, Mitchell Moses looked fantastic by himself. So, I mean, he wasn't by himself. He did have a team around him, but without his partner in crime, Brooks, there, he really shone. I thought he played his best game that he's played for the Tigers. So it will be interesting to see how he goes with Brooks back in the team. I think the Seagulls are better than what we saw on Friday night. They were weak, but they're a better team than that. And like I said last week, I think it will take them a couple of weeks to gel. I think this might be the first week where they really do find a little bit of form.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately for Tigers fans, I do think that last week was just a little bit of a fluke. I don't see them putting in that sort of a performance 2 weeks in a row. So I'm going to tip the Seagulls in this one as well.
Yeah, I think the Tigers were lucky to play the Warriors in round one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's all the games that we're looking forward to this week. And now we're going to move on to 20 questions. This week I get to see if JC can guess who the player I'm thinking of is.
Right. I've been worrying about this one all week, actually.
Yeah, I think I've been talking it up a little bit.
A little bit concerning. Yeah. It looked difficult last week, but you did well. You got it within the 20 questions, plenty of questions left. So a little bit of pressure on me to perform.
And as we said last week, what's up for grabs is that very, very nice free beer.
Cool beer. Okay, I guess I'll get the ball rolling here with my first question. I got a few little tips from you last week on I think, how to attack the game. So I'll try and keep them in mind. I'm going to start with, does this player play for a New South Wales club?
He does.
Okay. Does this player play for a club within the Sydney region?
Yes.
Okay. Does this player play for a team that's been in the competition I'm going to scrap that one.
Okay, all right.
Does this player play for a team that's within the... No. I'm doubting my question coming up
two
with
questions
here.
In and already.
I'm just trying to... I was trying to stick to geography, but I think I want to leave it a bit like that. I'm going to focus more on the player. Okay. Has this player played State of Origin?
No.
Has this player played City Country?
No.
Okay. Is this player a back primarily?
No.
Okay.
That's five questions for those playing at home?
That is five, okay. That's not as many as I thought it could have been. I think I stumbled through a few there. So, has this player won a grand final?
I actually just going to do a quick fact check on that one. I don't believe so. I'm going to say no.
All right. Has the club that this player plays at won a grand final in the last 5 years?
Yes.
All right. That does round it down a bit. So we go through the teams, we go back 5 years. So we've got the Rabbitohs. Who won last year? I'm completely blanking on that one.
Yeah.
I don't think you're allowed to give me the answer. I'm completely blanking. This is amazing. Oh, Cowboys, of course. So Cowboys are out of it, of course. So we got Rabbitohs, who are a Sydney club. And then we got the Roosters before that, obviously being a Sydney club themselves. And then we got the Storm in 2012. So they're obviously not a Sydney club, so they're out of it. 2011, we had Manly not being a Sydney club. Oh, sorry, Manly are a Sydney club. We'll keep Manly in it. Getting ahead of myself here. What year was up to? 2010. So we've got the Dragons then. So Dragons can be considered a Sydney club. They're half-half.
I would say Sydney region, definitely.
They're half-half, so we'll go with them. So we're down to four teams, if my calculations are right. And I think I've got a lot more than four questions left. Yeah. But okay. But then I've got, obviously, guess the player as well. It's not about just guessing the team. So I'm going to go with, does this player play for the Roosters?
He does not.
He does not play for the Roosters, so they're out of it. How many questions are we up to now?
We're up to eight.
That's eight questions.
Yeah, 12 left. You're doing well. You're actually sleuthing quite a bit. You've got the notepad out and you're writing words down.
Does this player play for the Dragons?
He does not.
Okay, so we're between the Rabbitohs and Manly here. So this player hasn't played State of Origin before. He hasn't played City Country before. Is this player Australian?
He is.
He is Australian. So that rules out any of the Burgesses. So that's half the Rabbitohs team gone. An Australian player. He's played over 50 games. Hasn't played State of Origin. He has played City Country.
He hasn't played City Country.
Sorry. He hasn't won a grand final.
No.
So that rules out...
Oh, sorry. No, he hasn't. Yeah.
So that rules out a lot of the Rabbitohs players.
Yeah.
The Manly one's still there.
I can see the mind working.
I'm gonna. If I had to guess, I'd say it's a Manly player, but I'm not gonna. I don't know if I want to waste another question on that one.
It's not called 20 guesses. It's 20 questions. So.
All right. So he's not a back. He's a forward.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to remember what questions you asked last week to give yourself.
I think I got a bit lucky towards the end. It was definitely narrowing down the club helped a lot.
Yeah. All right. Does this player play for Manly?
He does.
He plays for Manly. So it's a Manly player who's played over 50 games.
Yeah. We're up to 11 questions, by the way.
Hasn't played State of Origin. Trbojevic haven't played State of Origin. Haven't played 50 games yet. So it can't be one of those two. Which I would have thought you maybe wanted to go for, because you are a fan of those guys.
I'm a big fan of those guys, yeah.
Okay. Dylan Walker, he hasn't played State of Origin, he's played for Australia.
You haven't asked about Australia, though.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Has this player played for Australia?
He has not.
He has not played for Australia. That rules out Dylan Walker. Rules out Cherry Evans. Jamie Lyons, he's won premierships. He's played for Australia.
They're also all
played
backs.
For New South Wales. They are all backs. I completely forgot I asked that question.
Shouldn't be helping you.
All right. Okay, he's Australian. Yeah. That rules out Lewis Brown. Mm-hmm. He's another favourite of yours.
Yeah.
You might have gone for. I'm trying to think of the Manly team right now.
Yeah, it's quite tough because they've had a lot of changes as well.
Mm. All right, I think I know who it is.
Oh, really?
Well, I've got an idea of, I think he fits the bill, because if I'm remembering all the questions I asked, is this player Brenton Lawrence?
This player is Brenton Lawrence. Well done.
There you go.
That was quite systematic.
All right. Well, we got there. How many questions did that end up being?
That was only... it was 13. You got it on the 13th. 13. Yeah, lucky number 13.
That might be the new record for the year, I think.
Oh, it definitely is. Mm. I think I got it with 4 left last week, so...
Yeah, there you go. Okay, jeez. We got there. I'm sweating a little bit. It's a little bit...
You were composed.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pressure cooker there.
I was hoping you wouldn't even remember who Brenton Lawrence was, because he's been playing in reserve grades. He's actually been named this week, though.
Yeah, he has.
Like, he's one of my favourite forwards. I think he's very underrated.
He's a big favourite of mine, too, and I was very disappointed to see he wasn't there last week. So I was very happy to see him being named this week. I was quite surprised that he actually didn't get named, because I think he's been a consistent player for Manly for a while.
He's 31 years old, though, which I did not realise. I thought he was younger. He had a bit of a late start.
Yeah, he came into it pretty late there.
Yeah.
I think he played for the Titans at first and then came to Manly.
Yeah,
that's good to see. Okay, good. I was hoping I wouldn't embarrass myself and not get it. I was kind of struggling to think of the players there.
I think once you get over 10, you get stressed out.
Absolutely, yeah. The questions tick away for sure.
All right, so that's 20 questions done, and we're moving on to the very much spoken about earlier in the episode, JC's rant, where we're going to hear JC get very, very angry about something.
I'm not sure about angry.
Okay.
I'm going to get passionate.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if passionate's the right thing, because I don't know if I care about it that much. It's just it's a current issue that's bothering me. I had a couple that I was going to go to, but today I've decided to talk about the insistence of coaches to move players from fullback, a position that they are excelling in, to an unfamiliar position, at least at NRL standard. This is coaches moving players from fullback to 5'8", to centre, whatnot. A couple of examples, obviously, Matt Moylan is a big one. It's come up in the news in the off-season. It's heavily talked about that at some point this year, he's going to be moved to the halves. They're just waiting for Wallace or Sauer to fail so he can put him there. Dugan has moved from fullback to centre. Fullback position, he's captured the New South Wales number one jersey, but for some reason, he's not good enough to play it. Well, he's good enough to play it for his club, but he's better suited elsewhere. And going a couple of years back, we also had Ben Barber, who the failed experiment to go to 5'8 for Brisbane, came from the Dogs after winning the Dalian medal in 2012 at fullback. They decide a year or two later that his best position will be 5'8 for them. So... The problem I have with it is I feel like it really undermines the importance of a fullback in the team. I think these players are excelling there. They're adding a huge amount to the team at fullback, and they think, oh, if we move them to 5'8", halfback, centre, whatever they want to move them to, they're going to add more to the team. I think fullback has become a very integral part of a rugby league team and an NRL team, and I think the position has evolved a lot in the last probably 5 to 10 years, if not more. And by taking them out of that position, it weakens the team at the back, and I don't think there's any need for it. You look at teams like Penrith, they have Wallace, they have Soward, they're two players that when they're in form are very competent halves. They can do the job quite well. Moylan has excelled at fullback for them, and there's no reason to move him from fullback to the halves. I don't see how he's going to add anything further to the team by doing that. He hasn't even shown any potential as a half yet. He's played there before, slotting in when players have gone off injured and whatnot, and he's shown, if anything, that some of his skills are lacking in that area. His kicking game's a little bit weak. His frontline defence can be a little bit weak at times. So I don't get it. I don't get why they can't let this player develop and possibly naturally move to another position similar to what Darren Lockyer did. They didn't say, hey, Darren Lockyer is the best fullback in the world. He's the best. He's the number one for the Kangaroos for Queensland. Why don't we just move him? It didn't happen like that. The Broncos went through some changes. Their halves moved on. And the position, he graduated that position. He went on. He did what he could at fullback. They had Carmel Hunt coming through, and they decided to move him on to the halves. And it worked amazingly. He was a star at 5'8", one of the best 5'8s we've seen in a long, long time. Darren Lockyer is the exception. Darren Lockyer is Darren Lockyer. Everybody isn't him, and not many people are going to be him. There's no reason to move them on. Let players excel in the positions they play in, and later on in their careers, or if the team calls for it, then let's talk about moving them on. Otherwise, let fullbacks be fullbacks. That will do for me.
Yeah, there you go. All done.
It's hot in here.
I know this is something that whenever you hear it in the news, you sort of, I hear this little groan or grunt from you, but you're just annoyed by it, and fair enough as well. It's something that happens way too often, and everyone wants to recreate Darren Lockyer.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Let's let players excel at fullback and figure out the halves thing.
Yeah, so guess what, JC? That's week two in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been another fun one. It's been very good. I think we got through quite a bit. Just so everyone knows, we are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Feel free to contact us on anything. Any feedback is always greatly appreciated. We hope you enjoyed this week's show, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.